Nope.
Oh, there's no.
One of the things I raised on the.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The regular meeting of the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project Governance Committee is now in session. It's Wednesday, September 21, 2016, 2 p.m. And we'll start with roll call.
Brower?
Here.
Cam?
Here.
Yeah, Arkellum, Perpusic.
See, I just wanted to hear how you pronounce.
Third string.
Okay, we have a quorum. Thank you very much. If you'll join me for the pledge of allegiance, and if I could turn to our Calum rep to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to start with general public comment. Public comments are for topics within the scope of the governance committee, not elsewhere on the agenda. Anyone from the public may speak. It's 3 minutes, and
Michael Warburton from the Public Trust Alliance, and want to speak to something that never seems to get on the agenda. That's leadership under changing circumstances. And the governance committee has been canceling its meetings at a time when real leadership is needed on the Monterey Water Supply Project. I just looking at the newspaper today, I feel like that comic Stony Burke, who used to get up on the Berkeley campus where I went to school, and he'd look at the newspapers, and you know, everything was falling apart. But it's also falling together. I'm using a paper called the Wall Street Journal, which takes track of some of the financial matters that this committee is very concerned with. And one of them is the SEC probe of Exxon over accounting for climate change. They want to know why Exxon hasn't written down the value of any reserves during the oil price plunge. And what's happening with climate change and everything else is that values are changing, and prices and benefits are also changing, and business is changing. One thing that everybody wanted the same deal that the bankers got, which is no accountability, and you just argue whatever you want. That era is coming to an end. And you see what it looks like. It looks like Stumpf, Wells Fargo, being asked questions about directing money to his own benefit during a time of ongoing fraud. It doesn't look good. And there's still time, and just looking at county constituents, what people need, there are a lot of things that actually need to be done rather than just being worried about lining pockets. The arguments don't look good, and you are bound by law to be reasonable. And I'm hoping that reasonableness will come to this project.
Thank you, Mr. Warburton. Anyone else wish to speak for general public comment? Seeing none, we'll close general public comment. We'll move on to item number one on the agenda. Item number one is presentation from California American Water on Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project Pisslant Well and the Monterey Pipeline Project update.
Thank you. Ian Crux with Cal-Am. We'll give you a brief update of where things stand today, the project. So right out of the gate, talking about action and change, we're actually digging holes now and starting on the pipeline. These photos are the pre-construction work we're doing for the pipeline where we're potholing. So I saw them today. I just saw them in the field an hour ago. They're doing this. Throughout the whole path of the pipeline, they're digging a few holes, about 100 or so holes, to locate critical pipelines at crossings. They're verifying that they're there so that we don't have an unexpected large change after we are out there with the large pipe. So that activity is underway. There's an archaeologist as well at every hole, or each hole when we're digging it, in case we discover something. This is an overview of the pipeline route. On the right, I'd like to start from the right-hand side, which is Hilby and General Jim, around Hilby and General Jim Boulevard. And then we come down Hilby, across Fremont, in front of Fairgrounds, down Mark Thomas. At number 17 there in the middle, we jump on the Aquajito and back on the Fremont, through town, through Monterey, through Palm, to the other side to, I get a pointer. Oh, it don't work on the screen.
No, it's awesome.
So anyway, so then we get into New Monterey and then back to Pacific Grove up there, number one, number two, where we connect in Yearly, which is our existing pipeline infrastructure. So that's generally the route, and then underneath of that, you can see the schedule. And first, we start with the potholing, which you saw pictures of. Second, we're going to start on a few streets on some relocation line items where we have to move services and adjust some other water main infrastructure to make room for the 36. That's going to start taking place in October. And then pipe island installation will run from about November through the end of next year. And then along underneath that, there's other activities. We're doing the pipe crossing across the Route 68 bridge and building the pump station. The pump station is the ASR pump station up at our existing Hilby tank site up there by General Jim Warren. This slide is the relocation mains. These are the streets that where we have to do a few water service locations and water main adjustments to make room for the pipe. This is the activity in October. And we start the pipeline with two crews, basically starting at Route 68. One crew heading north, one crew heading south. Another crew building building the bridge. And then I'll turn it over to Catherine.
Thank you. Catherine Stedman with California American Water. Of course, we understand that a project of this scope requires a lot of communication activity to make sure that residents and businesses understand what we're doing and the way in which our activity might be impacting local traffic. So the key communication piece I want to let everyone know about is our project website. It's watersupplyproject.org. And if you go there today, you will see in a map of the complete pipeline alignment that you're actually able to scroll over and get more detailed figures of. So if you saw on the previous slide that we're going to be on Cypress Street, for example, you can go on the website and see, well, what are the cross streets? What section of Cypress are we going to be on? Which is very helpful if you're trying to identify whether or not our activity will impact your daily routes or run past your home or business. Also on the website, you can sign up for a weekly email update that will be starting in October once the main relocations and service line relocations are underway. So on a weekly basis, we'll be emailing out what we've accomplished to date, what we'll be working on that week, and what's coming up in the future, and any traffic mitigation plans that will accompany that work. We are doing a bill insert that should start running the first week of October to all of our customers, regardless of whether or not you live on the route. You will get a notification in the mail explaining the project and showing the alignment and the affected streets. For properties on the route, we will be doing a 7-day written notice and a door hanger 72 hours prior to construction. And then there will also be signage around the work site, including some digital signs in certain locations. We've also established a construction hotline. This is 646-3297. This is an appropriate phone number to call if you want to report any problems, but also if you have any questions about the project. I will actually be taking these calls. So now's a good time. Also, if you have any ideas about additional outreach we should be doing, 646-3297. And in addition, we've established a Facebook account and a Twitter account just for the pipeline project. This shows you a sample of what the door hanger is going to look like. And on the right-hand side of the screen, this is the bill insert that will be reaching all of our customers over the next month or so.
Thank you, Catherine. This is the schedule that we've presented many, many times. Nothing has changed here, so I'm not sure if there's much to touch upon, except that we've of course, received PUC decision up there in the red to build a water purchase agreement and the pipeline. And we're on track for the two below that for GWR and the pipeline to be ready by 2018. And the rest of it is still holding on schedule. So that's I'll conclude my presentation.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much for that very encouraging information. Why don't we just go out to the public to start with, and we'll bring it back to the Governance Committee for discussion. Do we have any members of the public who wish to speak?
So I can find that pipeline route on the website. Michael Bear, Monterey, I live on the pipeline route, so I'm curious. During the week, that there, or however long it is, they're on the block, on my block. I get in and out of my driveway, will they be turning off my water, gas, and or sewer while putting a 36-inch pipe outside my front house? Thank you.
Okay. Do we have anyone else that wishes to speak? Ms. Dorford.
The Public Trust Alliance, fantastic project organization, and great potential for good execution. What I'm hoping is that having this under such good control will give senior management and this governance committee a chance to once again look forward. Not just to the groundwater aspect of this project, but to the water supply, which the six cities of Monterey County are committing to for the next 50 to 100 years. They're committing, I think, to a desalinization future. Circumstances have changed both in the physical climate, the legal climate, and the social climate. And arguments that made sense 10 years ago, even 2 years ago, don't make sense now. This is particularly true for environmental analysis, which was a step on that project. The only way that this project has cleared environmental analysis has been to do an illegal scoping process. Now, it is illegal. Just because you can hire a very high-priced lawyer does not mean it suddenly becomes legal. And I hope that legal staffs on all of the participants and the people who can participate as members of the public, before this governance committee, I hope that an understanding of existing law would be compatible with the process. There was a Supreme Court justice who's no longer with us, but his ultimate advice to people, members of the public, was get over it. That's not enough.
Thank you, Mr. Warburton. George, can you hang on just a second before you start? There was an accusation of illegal activities, and I wanted to check. Does anybody, not that we should explore that, but if somebody feels that they are aggrieved by an illegal action, what is their recourse? And where do you go? Does anybody? I don't want to leave that hanging in the room.
Okay. Well, if somebody had a concern about the process that the governance committee is following, they could certainly challenge it in the Superior Court of Monterey County. If it's in terms of your discretion, that wouldn't be something that they would normally do, because courts give deference to a political body. But if it's a procedural issue, that's where they would challenge.
I think it was scoping of the EIR. There was a question. So.
But even so, that's where they would still go, even
same,
the scoping, same,
okay.
Same process.
Okay. And thank you. Mr. Riley.
It was public injury.
George Riley, Public Water Now. I guess I have more questions than I should, but anyway. This group in July decided not to pursue value engineering on the pipeline route, whatever that analyses might undertake, but it was largely the pipeline and pump station. So you decided not to do that. Meantime, in circulation, pretty wide circulation, and we're part of that, is a fair amount of advocacy for an alternative pipeline, which would be less costly than all of our calculations, less costly than the Cal-Am proposal or this proposal that you're talking about here. And we think that alternative should be looked at more seriously and in more depth, even though I know there's a schedule problem with it. But there's a substantial cost difference between what the Cal-Am proposal is and what the alternative appears to be, particularly if it's publicly financed as opposed to financed through Cal-Am. Now, the reason this is highlighted more and more is at the PUC public hearing and the update on the computer modeling report, which is only a couple weeks ago, Eric Zegas, who is the manager of the EIR process, in response to a direct question, which EIR controls the pipeline? Because the pipeline exists in the public water, the Pure Water Monterey project, and it appears in the basic proposal from Cal-Am that the PUC is still looking at. Now, Zegas, in response to that question, said he's not sure which EIR controls the Monterey pipeline. And the reason it's an important question to me is that the Pure Water Monterey EIR did not include alternatives. But the EIR that's undertaken by through the PUC process does have alternatives in its, and they made a commitment to look at alternatives. So our concern by not having alternatives looked at and Cal-Am proceeding quickly to get everything underway for this project, that we have no professional engineering review of options that may be much less expensive to the ratepayer. And that's the concern that we have, and that's why we keep raising the question about the alternative.
Thank you. Any other comment?
Good afternoon. Tom Riley, representing Monterey Peninsula Taxpayers Association. I've attended several meetings where this issue that was raised by Mr. Riley has been discussed in spades, and our organization is confident that the right decision was made to move forward on the pipeline and the pump station, and the alternative that was proposed by his cohorts really doesn't make any sense time schedule wise or economics or whatever. And we all know that the ratepayers get, takes it in the butt on all of these projects, and we think we speak for the ratepayers. This has been put to bed before, and it doesn't need to be reinvestigated again. So somebody has to say, object to the statement and the positions he's taken, so I'm objecting. And I believe the decision you made not to have a design review on what basically is a pipeline and a pump station, which is not that unique, and changing the whole route of the pipelines and possibly going back to using archaic pipes and everything, it doesn't make sense from so many reasons that, you know, it's been done. We've discussed it, and it's been decided. So I think some of these other organizations need to get behind moving forward and get our projects completed in a timely fashion. And I'm impressed by the presentation that was made by Engineer Crooks, and I hope everything moves forward on schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comment? Do you want to comment more as a staff person or a...
Yes, thank you, Dave Sulp, the Water Management District. Just to clarify, the Pure Water Monterey EIR did look at alternative pipeline routings, just not this alternative that he's discussing. Satisfied all of the CEQA requirements and was certified final, and had a comment period when an alternative routing could have been brought forward.
Thank you. Seeing no further public comment, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the committee. And you've actually, thank you, Mr. Stolt, you've actually answered one of the things that certainly was in my mind, which is when does the EIR process close? And I believe it was duly adopted and it's finished. The other thing I'd just like to check my memory of the value engineering decision, it was not, as I recall, a question of value engineering the route. It was the pipeline as proposed and is moving forward now. And that's a much different decision than what was just described at the podium. So and I think it's important we make that distinction. But,
no questions except I move to accept report as presented.
Okay, I do have a question. Are there any permitting issues still open at this point?
They're the administrative staff level encroachment permits for the street. And we're just about there. We're just finalizing some traffic control plans before we'll issue those. And we're working on that now.
And there was a question, I thought it was a good question from the public. If you live on the route, what is going to happen to your utilities while this pipeline is going in? Water, gas, electric?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd be glad to talk to Michael, too, outside of Stoke, his specific street. But in general, most of them, driveways will be accessible. If you happen to pull up in the crane, it happens to be have a pipe in the air, you may have to pause for a few minutes. But generally, yes, they're going to let people in and out of their driveways with steel plates as necessary. And there will be a time where there's no parking on that block, but you can get in.
It's already started.
Yeah, so you can get in and out of your residence, but there will be parking restrictions.
But don't they, I mean, I don't understand, if you're putting a pipe in this big, the sewer and the water, I mean,
Mr. Barry,
you won't interfere?
You can talk to...
I think there's you know, how many hundreds of houses on the route? Do you have to turn off the water and the gas and the sewer when you put the pipe in front of my house? That was the question I asked, and I'd like some clarification.
And it was answered. It may not be the answer you want.
That I can give you my driveway.
Ms. Stedman can give you additional information. But for the purpose of this meeting, we've kind of gone through the public comment. So I would just like to say thanks for the excellent report. It's always great to see dirt move. And we have a motion on the table with a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, so we will now go on to our action items. There are two approved committee meeting minutes of July 20th, 2016. And we'll open up for, open up for public comment on the meeting minutes. Do we have any public comment on the meeting minutes? These are very extensive minutes. Thank you for all the work that it takes to do that.
When these minutes are approved months after meetings take place, were there any changes in the minutes that were, were there any changes in the copies of minutes?
That were distributed?
Yeah.
No, there have been no changes.
So everything has been the same, right?
The minutes that were distributed prior to the meeting, yes, are the minutes that would be considered today.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Okay, I know it's always a little disconcerting, but if we don't have all of the meetings, it just takes a while before we can officially approve the minutes, and that's just the consequence of the process. So we'll close public comment, and do we have a motion to approve minutes?
Motion to approve minutes.
Well, do we have a second?
This is not participating. You must second.
All right, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. The minutes are approved. And I have to admire the diligence of our clerk for writing extensive minutes as opposed to the simple action minutes, although it always raises the question that comes up, how well does it reflect the public comment typically, and which always leads me to the preference for action minutes, the shorter version, but I acknowledge the precedence we've established here.
I would like to thank the Monterey Peninsula Water.
Mr. Mayor, we share a general counsel, and the general counsel to the district at one point suggested moving to a lighter form of minutes, and our board declined to do so, and so her training is...
It's paying off beautifully.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At one point, the chair had requested that the minutes be more detailed, so that's what we're preparing. If you as chair want to change that?
No, I don't. I don't think I should have just kept my mouth shut. Yeah. I think it's what it gets down to. Okay. Item number three, consider for approval a change in material specification for the Monterey pipeline. And I'll go to Mr. Crooks again.
Thank you. So during this presentation, I'm trying to think of a way to have Eric at least reply to something, just so his participation is acknowledged. So this is, first I'll just give you an update on the contract itself and where we stand today. These are a few bullets here that describe the process, but basically when we went out to RFP, we received the bids last October, so October 15th. At the time of the bid, all bidders submitted a steel-based pipe product, concrete coating and concrete lining, as the most cost-effective solution. And then every contract that we have in place with the Monterey Water Supply Project, including desal plant and all the others related to construction, there's an escalation provision because we know there's time between award and, you know, with the permit delays, there's an escalation clause to cover before you start construction. So that's what's explained here in the other three bullets, that there's an escalation provision or an index in the contract. It's a one-time adjustment from when the contract was awarded to notice to proceed. The last part covers the governance agreement that we have, where there are certain action items required. An escalation clause is not part of the governance committee agreement. We have Lori here is very intimate with that agreement, but she can comment if need be. It's not a change order, which is what the governance committee language is geared towards. This is just an escalation clause in the contract which the governance committee has already reviewed and approved. So this is the way the escalation would work on the pipeline project, and we're looking to formalize this here this week. The table at the top shows the index is applied to the Garney construction contract for the pipeline. It's 100%, and the top three there show what indexes would be applied against the original pricing of the contract. And the one I'll focus on today is the one that says steel pipe, because that's related to the product that they had proposed to install. It represents 13.6% of the contract value. Below in the numbers, I show the way it works. So the original contract price was $32 million. Multiply that by the 13.6%, you get to $4.4 million. So $4.4 million of the contract represent the steel product of the pipe. The steel index, that index that's highlighted in with the yellow arrow, back in October, November, it was 398. Today, it's 556, representing a 40% increase in steel price. And that's hot rolled steel. That's how they make that pipe. It's a specific product. So that increases the contract $1.7 million for the steel. And the next slide is a graph of that index from 2010, just to give you some idea. And so what had happened is back in the bid in 398, we were bidding, that's highlighted. In March of 16, the U.S. imposed duties on imported steel, and you can see what happened. So it's skyrocketed, the index. The market has, I guess, has been adjusting to that high spike, and right now we're catching it on the back on the downslope a little bit. And today it's 556, and that's what's shown on the graph. But sometimes we're not in the speculation business, so we need to move on. So this is where we are today, and we got to get going. So with that said, the escalation is the my rush to get this done. That first bullet is representing the wrong number. It should represent the 1773 at the bottom. So the net effect is shown in the table below. Is you have the net price of $32 million is the original, the steel escalation, and then the change of ductile iron pipe now is about $16,000. And so our approach on this is to select ductile iron as our pipe material of choice because of the small delta and the other benefits associated with ductile iron. The main benefit right now is schedule. We can get ductile iron 4 to 6 weeks sooner than the steel pipe, which would allow us to get rolling by November. And if you stuck with steel, there's even a risk because of that delay, you get into the holidays, and now you're out into January before possibly steel could be available. There is some reduced pumping costs associated with it long term, because ductile iron pipe has a larger internal diameter, so there's less friction loss and better less power to pump through it. So there's some efficiency there, and we estimate about $10,000 a year. That alone makes up for the cost difference. Ductile iron pipe in general has better long-term durability, resistant to corrosion, and overall strength. And it's also more industries readily available fittings and stuff that crews and repair crews can fix and maintain better than steel. And so with that, our recommendation is that we select ductile iron pipe. It meets all, of course, meets all AWWA and NSF standards. We have a significant schedule advantage because of it. We have the other tangible benefits identified on the prior slide. And in regards to CEQA, this is pipe material is has no material, is immaterial to EIR. The EIR, in fact, doesn't even mention pipe material. It's not significant. And this action of changing pipe material has no, there's no discretionary determination needed by any public agency to make the change. So that concludes our presentation. So again, our recommendation is to switch from ductile iron pipe.
Thank you very much, and let's go out for a public comment at this point. Mr. Collin.
Yes, just one point. I was going to note that some of the comments that we've had in the past on the project is concerned about the impact on neighborhood and on traffic. I mean, Monterey had asked to take a look at that. And my understanding, and maybe Ian can expand on it, is that because you were using shorter sections with ductile iron versus the original steel pipe, that it's less intrusive and it's easier to close the streets up with less impact on traffic and neighborhoods. But that's just my understanding, so maybe Ian could clarify that.
Okay, well, let's finish public comment and we'll go back to the questions.
Ms. Stolt? Dave Stolt, the Water Management District. A couple of things. A couple of members of my board raised a question about HDPE pipe, and this is a summary of benefits of ductile iron versus HDPE. I think you were in that conversation as well, weren't you?
In the conversation.
Yeah. Second, you all received from signature under Ron Weitzman from WRAMP a possible CEQA challenge. I think it's been summarized very adequately here in the last bullet point, that the material is not material. We did have MRWPCA staff examine the entire EIR looking for any reference to the material. There was none, as Ian has pointed out. In speaking to council, taking an abundance of caution, we do have a memorandum prepared by Denise Duffy and Associates, who's here, in effect summarizing that none of the conclusions of the EIR would change as a result of the change in material for the pipe, and that the material for the pipe really is inconsequential to the whole EIR process. And so we'll enter that memorandum to file just for purposes of history.
Great, thank you. Other comments? Mr. Riley?
Hi, George Riley again. I'd like to know the source of the recommendation, because as I understand, at some TAC meeting recently, I think Ian, you were recommending, you were praising the, and I think I heard Ron McLean say something similar. When Cal-Am went out for bid, they asked the contractors to recommend the pipe material. And you kind of took a pass on that, assuming that the contractors would be more familiar and do more research and so on and represent current status and so on, current conditions. Anyway, that was my understanding, is that the contractors recommended the pipe material. So now I'm just curious, are the contractors recommending this change, or are you recommending the change? And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment? Mr. Baer.
Excuse me, would you please state your name?
Yeah,
for the
Michael
record?
Baer.
Thank you.
Monterey resident. Route resident. So my understanding, so I've heard, you know, that there are calcium residues that tend to build up with iron. What happens to the water inside the pipe? I don't know if that memorandum covers that. But it seems to me, you know, switching from steel to iron can have a number of things happen. Also, looking back at that graph that showed the price of steel, if you looked at the long term, I mean, what happens if steel goes way up or way down? This is your one-time shot to increase it by $1.7 million for the steel. What happens if it goes through the roof? What happens if it drops through the floor? We're the ones paying the bills. So it seems like, okay, this is a snapshot in time. And I'm just curious, you know, with the volatility, how that impacts the final price. Yeah, okay, it's very frustrating. I'm very frustrated.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. There were a couple of questions. One was the source of the recommendation.
I'll try. Okay. So the recommendation. So when the project was bid out, American Water has all sorts of standards for different types of pipe: PVC, HDPE, cement, steel, ductile iron. We basically left that open to the contractors to pick the most effective one. So our specification included the specs for that pipe. And the contractors came forward with the most cost-effective solution in October of 2015. They all chose similar kind of pipe. And the delta was a savings of about $2 million for that kind of pipe. Some contractors had their higher prices, but our selected contractor was about $2 million gap. Today, that's, as I presented, is changed, and now ductile iron's a wash as far as price. And so we are recommending ductile iron because it's basically the same price as steel, so there's no change. So that's
But preferable.
It's a preferable, it's more preferable price at a, as a as a wash, yes, as a no price change.
And there was also a question about calcium buildup inside the pipe.
Yeah, so again, these are AWWA pipe standards. All ductile iron pipe is cement lined, impermeable to corrosion. There's no corrosion or calcium buildup on ductile iron pipe.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I appreciate that. I'd actually like to ask Ms. Denise Duffy a couple of questions. One is just to confirm your search of the EIR. And the other part, and I actually went out last night to search through the EIR myself, but not with the eyes that you can bring to it. I did find questions about trenching and how this change might affect the trenching,
okay,
which could possibly be relevant. Somebody was searching for relevance, I think.
Okay, so thank you. My name is Denise Duffy, and we're the preparers of the GWR EIR, the Pure Water Monterey EIR, and the addendum for the Hilby Pump Station and Monterey Pipeline. For the question of impacts from the EIR discussed pipeline construction and impacts in relation to the impacts on the environment. So therefore, yes, the type of trenching and construction methods were generally discussed in terms of impacts. The change, if you were, the type of specific material identified, whether it was steel or PVC pipe, or was not identified specifically within the IR, particularly not identified for the Monterey pipeline under discussion today. There was only one minor appendix that discussed it for the Blanco drain. There was a discussion of trenching in relation to trenchless underneath the Salinas River. And there was a discussion of what the type of construction impacts would be for trenching for pipeline construction. The impacts of the iron ductile pipeline, because of, as Ian Crooks identified as engineer, because of the construction methods are slightly different, you're going to have less construction time frame and less impacts from this type of construction if one were to compare steel versus this. This is also a predominantly recycled material product, so it has less energy consumption as well. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you beautifully. And are there any other questions from the committee?
Yes, of Ian, perhaps. Ian, what's the O&M difference in steel versus ductile iron?
Good question. It's really the long-term maintenance. This is a transmission main, so we don't anticipate going on that main too much often to tap it or do services. We're not putting services on it. So it's more related to what you consider long-term projects or adds or breaks, you know, if it broke in the future. And so the actual requirements to fix steel pipe is a specialized field. You need welders, you have to redo the mortar inside and out. It's more intensive to repair steel, the original proposed pipe. Ductile iron is industry standard stuff that we break and fix all the time throughout the country. So does every other utility. So it's a very common pipe that's, if it's struck or broke or whatnot, it's easily repairable and fixable.
So would you say that more than 50% of transmission lines are ductile iron?
Oh, I don't know the stat. I wouldn't know the number. I can just tell you from back east, large majority of the mains are all ductile iron, even the small mains in the street because of the freezing and the cold winters.
Is ductile iron made in America?
It is. It's also, most of it is, interesting because it's recycled. A lot of it is recycled iron, and it's even some of it is LEED certifiable because it's 90% recycled steel or iron chip. It's like iron chips, and they recycle it and, you know, heat it up and melt it and redo it.
Great.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
By the way, there was a question as to whether we even ought to include this item on the agenda today, because one reading of the governance agreement is that this wouldn't have to come before the governance committee. It's a simple material substitution with minimal cost. And in fact, as we're hearing it, a lot of advantages ultimately, both in cost and maintainability and in construction of the pipeline on schedule as well. So there are a lot of pluses to this recommendation. The reason we're doing it is to make sure that there is a public discussion. The thing that could change that feeling about whether it's appropriate for the governance committee is if somehow the U.S. tariffs on this pipe dropped and all of a sudden the price of the steel pipe were to plummet, then we'd be saying, why are we doing ductile iron? But that's speculative. This is, as you point out, an act now. We have to make a choice at some point in time. This is a point in time. So that's why we're moving in this direction and why we're having the discussion. So there's no question that it's been publicly discussed at this stage. So,
but with it being an action item and it not being contested as an item that should not be on the agenda by Cal-Am, I move we approve it as submitted.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With that, we've reached almost the final item. Thank you very much, and thanks to everybody for your comments. Discussion items, public comments, suggested items for future agendas. We've already heard one. I'm not sure quite what the suggestion was, but we'll open up for public comment at this point.
I was just noticing as you took the vote, do you have a quorum today?
Yes, we do.
Two?
Yes, we do.
There are three voting members.
Oh, there's just three voting members.
Yes.
Thank you.
And it's a good question. Seeing Mr. Woodburn.
Okay, for the Public Trust Alliance, I'm not sure if my previous suggestions for agenda items have been understood or deliberately disregarded, but the notion of changing circumstances affects this profoundly, as it affects projects everywhere, public works, the way we live in the world. Climate is changing. It's a serious, serious consideration, not just for how you should consider it, but actually for what the law says. The law is not as particular as some people here would call it out to be. There is such a thing as a standard of reasonableness. And I think this committee should consider reasonableness in its plans to move forward. Because you identified a number of pluses. There are a phenomenal number of pluses for sharing water that belongs to the public before requiring the expensive and capital-intensive manufacture of water, an essential public good for public life. It has never been considered by this committee what it means to have that controlled completely, 100%, by a private company which has demonstrated repeatedly that even when public benefits could accrue to citizens across the spectrum, decisions are made which maximize private profit, which is taken out of this county. This is an emerging issue, and I think as public leaders, the members of this governance committee should take that into account in agenda items.
Thank you, Mr. Warburg. Anyone else wish to speak at this point? Seeing that, we'll close public comment on this topic. So I'm going to confess, I don't understand how this item would be agendized specifically enough to kind of fall within the scope of what our responsibilities and obligations are. I understand in a very broad context there are major social issues here, but much of that may fall beyond us. I would invite that if you would like to see an agenda item, perhaps you can submit a written description of what that item is and the specific law that applies. Whether or not that ends up on the agenda may be determined by how we can figure out whether it actually fits into the charter we have. But with that, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.